It is Super Bowl week, as we all know, which means that all over America, office workers, like us, are in gambling pools trying to take money from one another by predicting the outcome of the big game. In the name of journalistic integrity, I must announce my bias about this quasi-illegal and productivity-sapping rite of winter. I love and support it. In 1998, I provided picks to a friend who was in the Seinfeld football pool. Yes, that Seinfeld. But no, I don't know him, his wife, or anybody who worked on the show, so technically I am not name-dropping. But my friend won that pool in about $2,500. Yes, I just bragged. Last year, I invented and organized an American Idol office pool, which I eventually won by picking Jordan Sparks to win it all months before she did.
And it, I have to say, people at MSNBC who should be concentrating on other things, deciding between Blake and Jordan, I saw it happen.
Why should they be concentrating on other things? Anyway, I'm embarrassed that I won, but I did not win anything except free lunch on myself at the commissary for a week and history's most dubious bragging rights. Anyway, from now till the end of March Madness, we'll hear a lot of worry about office betting and its impact on productivity. Are office poolers endangering America's GDP, or is the man just trying to keep them down? We've called our pal Jared Sandberg to talk about office gambling. He writes the Cubicle Culture column at the Wall Street Journal. Good morning, Jared.
Good morning, Bill.
Tell us, are office pools legal or illegal?
Well, this really comes down to state law. So in some states, they are technically, and in some states, many states, they're not. The big threshold here with this, with office pools are whether some organizer is pocketing money. So there was a man in Staten Island who was arrested for taking a 10% cut of the winnings a few years ago. But oftentimes, as you know, there really isn't usually a cut. And so though it may technically be illegal, the police often have better things to do than to enforce, a betting pool on, say, a baby due date.
Yes, we've got one of those going right now. So basically, you can be a bettor, but you can't be a bookie.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's probably the simplest way to look at it. Yeah.
So the worry we always hear about in the media at this time of year is that office pools are a distraction and that they drain productivity in the office place and affect the American economy to some horrifying degree. How real is that?
I take these warnings with a grain of salt. Usually they're offered by companies starting now through March Madness that are offering a service to solve this problem. So, for example, I got a press release yesterday about Super Bowl-itis that claimed that 1.4 million employees in the U.S. may call in sick on Monday. And, of course, this was, commissioned, a study commissioned by a company that has employee absence management software. So, I get a little nervous about that only because when I asked about, well, how many people normally call in sick on Monday, because we know that Mondays and Fridays are the two most common sick days, I never heard back from that. And so that number may not be all that different from what the normal Monday absenteeism is. The problem is that when you really look behind some of these other numbers, there's a famous number that's put out about what March Madness costs U.S. businesses. One year it was $889 million, the next year it was $3.8 billion, then the next year after that it was $1.2 billion. This kind of whiplash between these numbers doesn't exactly suggest that they were scientifically gathered data. And the fact is that oftentimes I think these studies overlook the work that you do at home, on behalf of your company, which obviously helps productivity.
So, Jared, I have a question, though. What if you don't give a whit about the Super Bowl? What if you don't care about March Madness? But don't look at me like
that. There's something terribly wrong with you.
Bill just glared at me. But I might feel pressure to be part of the game.
Well, I think there are subtle pressures. I mean, if you're someone who really wants to participate in whatever social event that goes on, if that's all that's being discussed at work, you probably will kick in $5 for the privilege of feeling more at ease at work. I think that's often overlooked, with all this March Madness and Super Bowl stuff. And the fact is that some people couldn't care less. There are plenty of people who don't even know what teams are in the Super Bowl and really don't feel at some social loss for not knowing that. And so that's the only thing that I find that's often overlooked is that, you know, there are plenty of people who like the Super Bowl, and that's great, but there are plenty of people, you know, who are just annoyed by it, you know, and that's fine.
I think what they find if they got in, the people who are annoyed by it, is that nobody knows anything, because the people who are annoyed and don't know anything have just as good a chance as the people who spend their entire lives thinking about it.
And finally, they often win.
Exactly. Finally, is there a Wall Street Journal pool? Are you in it, and who do you like in the game?
You know, there is. If there is a pool, I was not invited. So. As far
Jared's
as well,
in my club.
As far as who I will express this, admit my own bias too, Bill. You know, New York Giants, I like a lot, and so I can't bet against them.
Well, I appreciate your transparency. I surely do. Jared Sandberg, thanks very much this morning. Jared writes the Cubicle Culture column at the Wall Street Journal. Have a great day. Thank you,
my
Jared.
Pleasure.